Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Hello, shoppers! Gross goblins, ghouls, politicians, scary creatures of all kinds, and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. How you doing? 8 o'clock Saturday morning. We are wide awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. It is Beggar's Day night, I guess is what it is. Sure. And your kid's going to take them out there, and great weather, too. We'll get to the weather forecast in just a minute. Now, is it normally Beggar's Night Halloween? Is it usually like towns celebrated on different days? Sometimes like a small community like my hometown of Cambridge might be a one day, and then a lot of other towns will be another. But this year it seems like it's just Saturday. Yeah, we're going to get her done, and it's nice on a weekend. I don't know when things, I don't know, I've lost track of all that stuff. But yes, so be careful on the roadways. As you got, you know, there's probably kids actually knocking on doors now trying to get, and don't, please, no fruit roll-ups, come on. We've talked about chocolate as one of the pillars of great customer service enough on this show. You know what you got to serve. And then, or a lot of, or maybe some, throw in an apple, all right, but have it toward the back of the tray, all right? And just leave it there, just so you can say, in case the health department comes through, listen, officer, I'm serving healthy things here. Otherwise, yeah, slow pokes and chocolate and Reese's Cups and Snickers and the mini bites. And listen, if you're one of those great houses who's going to give the big candy bars, remember the Marathon candy bars? Oh, yeah, the big old gooey thing. Yeah, they don't make those anymore. Listen, if someone's giving away Marathon candy bars, you really need to go ahead and leave and walk out. Anyway, happy Halloween this fine Saturday morning. On the program this morning, you know, I talk a lot as a customer service trainer about helping employees change the way they engage customers. Today, something slightly different but still along the same theme, a roadmap to change, both big and small, how we change the behaviors we want to change. And it isn't just a matter of we snap our fingers. You know what? I want to lose weight. I want to smile, greet, engage, and thank people as an employee. I want to get out of an abusive relationship, and I just snap, and it's done. Nah, it's a process for us. Well, from weight loss to addictions to the pillars, we've got perspectives from three people this morning. First of all, I'm going to talk to a Pastor Mike Householder, Lutheran Church of Hope, about that. Also, Maria Valdovinos from Drake University's Department of Psychology. And Justine Allen, a wellness coach and certified personal trainer from the YMCA, on the right and the, you know, the not-so-right way to engage and change things that we want to change. Very interesting show. I hope you stay tuned for it. Weather forecast, it has changed a bit for the better. I think you've probably noticed that. And when I tell trainees, I say, listen, temperature change of 10 degrees up or down freaks us out. We just go, oh my gosh, it was just, I was just getting used to whatever it was, and now it's changed. And so we typically go into this, we can be a little irritable in our, we're not in our happy place as much. And so anytime the temp does that, I always give the heads up to employees, engage more, be kinder, gentler. We may be in sort of a bad place, but I think today is going to be just fantastic. 64. Sunshine. You've got Iowa State and Iowa. You've got Iowa with a big game at Kinnick against Michigan State. You got Iowa State kicking off a nice 1 o'clock kick at Jack Trice. Used to those late night or 6 o'clock kicks. It's nice doing it in the middle of the day. Very nice. Other schools as well. Sunny and at kickoff for everybody in 64 tonight. We dropped to 37. And then a bit of a shot of rain on Sunday. About a 20%er and down, and only 54. So listen, I'm no good at math. I'm seeing a 10-degree difference here. So the irritability alert is going out to all my peeps out there working it hard in the streets, wherever they're working. And then Sunday night, the rain, whatever shot there was, will end then at a low of 34. My heaven. Oh, that, now that is more like your beggar's night. Remember Halloween's going to be snowing? Oh, my gosh. And that was, it sort of set the tone, kind of like Dark Shadows-y. But, yeah, you know what, the little beggars run around in snow. I had a Batman costume when I was a kid. I was a chubby kid. I could basically just to pour myself in there. It's like 20 pounds of sardines in a 10-pound bag. And for 3 years in a row, I split that thing down the middle. I mean, we always had to go buy the new, you know, the new Batman thing. I think the ages of 5, 6, and 7, by about the third house, the thing would just split up the back. Yeah, Johnny was a little pudgy. Monday, back to work, sunny in 53 right now. We're at 47 degrees. Back in 1901, you know, the world was a different place. I knew you did not know that. Yes, very different. A guy named Charles Walgreen back then was tired of getting the snot beat out of him because he had like a really weird name. And even back, I mean, and there were some, there was Hortense and Esther's and Merle's. And so names were like really weird anyway. But Walgreen, for some reason, I just didn't sit well with people. And he was growing up in Galesburg, Illinois, outside Chicago. So it was kind of a tough neighborhood. He decided that he wanted to lower his medical bills and impress chicks. And he thought, you know what? I've got one swooping way I can do this. I'm going to open up a truck store. And he did, on a street corner. And 110 years later, and he thought about, he briefly thought about calling it Walmart, strangely enough. But he thought, you know what, I think that's going to be, eventually I'm going to run into legal problems with that. So I'll go with Walgreens instead. I'll just go with the obvious thing to call my store. And of course, 110 years and 7,500 stores later, Chuck Walgreen is a rich man. Now he's dead, but I mean he's a very wealthy man, and Walgreens are all over the place on just about every street corner. Sometimes there's two of them. Sometimes they're actually stacked right on top of each other. There's so many of them. They're in all 50 states, generate about $60 billion a year annual revenue. Yeah, huge amounts of revenue. That's a lot of NyQuil and Nasonex and curlers. And blow dryers, yeah, and flash drives, and photo ops, developing, and yeah, all the different things, and wheat and rice checks, and all the things that we just, you know, we can't live without that. I mean, how could we possibly survive? They're right there in the Walgreens, of course. It is the secret shopper focus this week. Every week, I randomly pick a business to secret shop at random, thus randomly. And I post about it on my blog. You can go to www.theunsecretshopper.com, and that's my blog. A blog is just like, it's a newspaper writer that wouldn't be able to sell any newspapers. And so they do it, they just put it up there on the internet, and people could come in and check it out if they want to. So you can check it out there. Also, it's where my pillars of great customer service, part of a customer service training program that I've developed, is there. And I do that with clients from Dahl's Foods, to Gabus Auto Group, Charles Gabus Ford, Toyota of Des Moines, Des Moines Imports, work with those employees, and secret shoppers are part of that process. I have well over 150 secret shoppers now who are signed to go out and sort of check to see that my training doesn't stink. And so far, you know, the verdict is still kind of out on that regard, but we'll see how I do. Walgreens has an old school feel to it. In my, this is my sensibility, kind of the corner drugstore, the town apothecary. I call it the Casey's of chloroseptic, is how I'm going with this. And now you think about it, Casey's has about 1,200 locations, and they're no slouch, but 7,500, they're all over the place, yeah. And 13 Walgreens, that's the number that I secret shopped over about a three-day period. And I posted that in two separate posts, one on Thursday of last week and then one yesterday. Pharmacy, photo lab, and checkout counters were the areas that I focused on. But really, frankly, I walked through the store, and any time an employee was there, I went up to them to see what would happen. What am I looking for? I'm looking for pillars of great customer service. These are fundamental things, I think, that really that are just about human interaction. It's not rocket science. It's, does the employee smile at me? Do they greet me with a salutation? There's really two parts to the greeting and the pillars. There's the salutation, hey, how are you? Maybe even a welcome. Hi, welcome to Walgreens. It's a weird name, but it's a great store. And then the second part of the greeting is the open-ended, what can I help you with? As opposed to the closed-ended question, which sort of ends all, it really ends the retail experience as far as I'm concerned. Can I help you? Yeah, you know, you're in someone's store. They're really paid to help customers. Customers are there completely helpless as newborn infants. And so, yeah, we don't ask that. Engagement is personal and professional. You've got the problem solving, because all retail is solving a problem. Every store ever built for us is to solve some problem. Hey, I don't feel good. Well, we got doctor's offices. We got drugstores. I'm hungry. We got restaurants. We've got grocery stores. Hey, I'm thirsty. We've got bars. We've got bars. We've got, I'm cold. Clothing stores. So retail's all about solving problems. It's why they're built. In the case of Walgreens, there's a myriad of problems. Number one being, I don't feel too well. help me feel better. And so that's sort of the, and so we're looking for that, the problem solving and the personal engagement too. Hey, where are you from? What's going on with you? What do you do for a living? All that kind of goop that reduces the walls that exist between two people that have never met, which is the typical retail experience when we meet someone. The thank you, which is pillar number four of the pillars, very important. And then the fifth is the follow-up, which we don't get to sometimes. Well, in this scenario, it's unusual. But see, I think we should. And if we've done the first four pillars in retail and we're strong about them, there's no reason why we can't ask for that follow-up piece of information. Radio Shack comes to mind. You remember going into Radio Shacks where you'd go in and they would ask you at the transaction for your email address or a phone number. And it felt obtrusive, I think, often. They didn't tell us why they wanted it. And the time before that, they would ask, there was no getting to know me, just as a dude or a dudette. And so it just felt like, yeah, give me a name, address, phone number. I'm like, I was being like grilled in a torture camp or something. No, no. So if you've done the four pillars well, asking that piece of information on the follow-up, you got a much better chance. And then the sixth pillar, of course, is hand out chocolate at a lot of stores. And listen, the stores I work with, we hand out chocolate, all right? So whatever store you work at, it's what you do. 13 Walgreens. Quick rundown on how the experience went. Southeast 14th, Amanda in the hair coloring aisle gave a big fat hello, a huge smile. Amanda, thank you. At 7000 Douglas, Deanne, a pharmacist, greeted, smiled, took me to the Ally. And I went to these counters with scenarios. Pharmacist was, I'm looking for Ally, which is a weight loss drug, which is now over the counter, used to be by prescription only. It was Zenical, Orlistat. I used to take the stuff. Basically, it takes a third of your fat of any food you eat and sort of removes it, third of the fat and calories. That's what it says it does. And it does. It worked for me for a period of time. So that was the scenario. Photo lab, I'd go and I'd say, hey, I've got a roll of 35 millimeter that's 20 years old. Can you expose it? How much is it? And then the checkout counter, I'd buy a candy bar or something. So those are my scenarios. So Deanne, the pharmacist at 7000 Douglas, just awesome, took me to the product I was looking for. You love that. You want to be glad handled. Walgreens at 4686th. You know, I just really there's some work to be done at that store. Yeah, we got some people, you know, that probably didn't seem terribly happy to be there. 3501 Ingersoll, rock star treatment. Valerie, a pharmacist, gave the sweetest, biggest smile. Open-ended question, how can I help you? Absolutely top-notch. Way to go, Valerie. 1660 22nd Street Walgreens. Lots of denying of reality, you know, and my new term for this is Walmarting ourselves off. Yeah, instead of walling ourselves off, it's Walmarting ourselves off. It's the idea that we can walk within proximity of a human being and they simply ignore us, act like we're not there. Yeah, it'd feel, they might as well, you know, we'd prefer they just punch us in the face. I mean, at least we'd, you know, get something out of it, some reaction. But no, denying reality is really destructive. And so quite a bit of that going on at the 1660 22nd Street Walgreens. 12753 University, Wendy, a pharmacist, stepping up, open-ended question, nice greeting, huge smile at the end. Very nice work, Wendy. 15601 University, Joanne, she's just one of those people that gets it. She's just a natural, happy, smiley person. Not something that anybody probably taught her. She just is that way and did a really nice job at the Photo Lab Center. A huge, high, big smile. Thank you for doing that, Joanne. 6200 Merle Hay Road. Kelly, really the only employee in the store who seems happy. And this was as she was cleaning up a perfume spill. I come in, she says, oh, hey, excuse the spill. And she's smiling, you know, and she's all, it's just taking it in stride, part of life. And that's what you want to see. You don't want to see people bogged down with no perfume. It's spilled. I know you're not supposed to cry over spilled perfume, but I can't help it. It was owed to Johnny. It smelled interesting. So, yeah, Kelly, nice job. 3030 University Avenue, bad vibe. Yeah, just kind of employees looking right at me and then turning away. That's denying of reality. Daniel, the store manager, sorry to toss you under the bus, but was on a personal phone call back by the photo lab counter as I approached him and then turned away and continued talking on the phone as if I were interrupting him. And then I heard snippets of the conversation. It was clearly a personal call, which didn't necessarily sound like a very good content. So yeah, I then hung the phone up and then hung the phone up and said, can I help you?
And you know, you just, yeah, that you don't ask that question. You certainly don't ask it when you've been on a personal call, and you don't stay on the personal call with a customer standing in front of you. It's a really bad vibe there. 40, although Jack sort of did a nice job. He called me sir at the counter. You know, sir is what we use in the movie To Sir with Love. That's from 1969, Sidney Poitier. Yeah, it's you call somebody sir who's older than you, you're going to make them feel 100 times older than you. Get their name. Yeah, use their name. Get their name. It's polite, but it's not personable, and there's a difference in those two things. 4415 Douglas Sabrina did very well. 104 East Euclid, rock star. This is one of the standout stores. The two standout stores are this one and 3501 Ingersoll. Nice job across the board. And at 104 East Euclid, Elizabeth did a nice job in the pharmacy. Oh, and those are well-managed stores, too. You can tell the stores that are well-managed because the employees tend to get it and plug into the open-ended types of questions. So nice job there. 2545 East Euclid, Martha greeted me from 25 feet away. I stepped it off. I measured it. Awesome. There is no 10-foot rule in retail. There's no foot. Listen, my grandma said, kid, act like your name is on it. You know, own it. You see a customer, they're yours. Go get them. And that's exactly what Martha did. Nice work. 2930 East University. Cam had a slow start, but a strong finish. And then the strangest of all things was the call into the media relations department at Walgreens. You know, I send these reviews into corporate. I want their feedback. I'd like their reaction to it. I'd like to talk to somebody who's in the customer service training end. And they do customer service training, but no secret shopping at Walgreens, although they may have had it at one time. And an employee, I believe his name was John. Do I have his name here somewhere? In any event, he's in media relations. And so media relations people are paid to deal with media. I'm media with a small M, or maybe even in parentheses. All right. That's okay. And so I had this strange off-putting conversation with John, if I'm remembering his name correctly, in which he said, well, what do you want to know? Well, I said, well, what I want to know, I want somebody to talk to me about, you know, the customer service training. And he said, well, I can send you a one-sheeter on that. I said, well, you know, maybe if it were television, I could hold it up to the screen. But, you know, this is radio, dude, you know. And then he was angry. I mean, he's calling from Deerfield, Illinois. That's kind of a pretty community. And it's like he's a very happy guy. So the media relations part, I don't know. There wasn't really a lot of relation in there. Not much media either. If you'd like to read the entire review of Walgreens 13 Des Moines area stores, it is at www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can read it all there. And a lot of other reviews. Target, Walmart, retail, Dolls, Hy-Vees, Best Buys, smaller stores, mom and pops across the board. There's a partial review of Jordan Creek Mall, which I think we're going to get to the rest of the stores before the end of the year. And if you've got a suggestion for a store to be secret shop, please go there or email me at Johnny, J-O-N-N-I-E, at theunsecretshopper.com. Coming up, he is a Church of Lutheran Hope pastor, Mike Householder. He will join us next to talk about how we change. All that in a theme of change today and a happy Halloween Saturday. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. 819 now on this Halloween version of the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Wrote a post about this particular film, The Exorcist, one of, I think, the finest films of all time, and not because she's vomiting and things and those stuff, but just the idea of the battle of good versus evil and how it plays out. I find that extremely interesting. And there's a lot of customer service lessons in The Exorcist, too, which I went into in detail, I believe, a couple weeks ago on this program. But you can read that post if you Google search The Unsecret Shopper and The Exorcist. Yeah, you wouldn't think those two would go together, but yeah, they do in some ways. Weather forecast, nothing to be vomiting over. In fact, sunny day in 64 today. 37 tonight, it gets a little naughty, a little devilish on Sunday with a slight chance of rain in 54. Monday, sunny in 53 right now. We're clear as a bell in 47 degrees, and maybe apropos music into a religious theme, but we're talking about change this Halloween Saturday. We're talking about how do we change, whether it's a little thing like maybe wanting to smile more at customers and reminding ourselves to do that or to be more thankful or to thank them at the end versus larger things like weight loss or maybe in an addiction or getting out of an abusive relationship. How do we facilitate that? I mean, we know the left brain process. There's enough self-help books out there to sink a ship. But how do we actually do it? Can we do it? Well, one of the people you're going to hear from this morning is Mike Householder. He is a pastor at the Lutheran Church of Hope. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Johnny. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. It's so good to have you here. And I want to always like to figure out how people get to the point where they have gotten to in their lives. What took you into the clergy? What took you into the church? What was your path?
It's a really good question, and I'll try to give you the short answer. I was in college and actually started as a math major, thought I'd be a teacher, an engineer, and about halfway through college, through a series of different kind of life-defining events, started to experience and feel the call from God to serve full-time in ministry as a pastor, so I pursued that call.
Pastor Mike, when I talk to people who are in positions of helping others, frequently they will tell me, and I think this is maybe just a sort of a straw man, but is there a pain inside, like they say that people who are in the church or psychologists or people that are trying to heal others are in essence sort of trying to heal themselves. Is there a truth in that to you, for you?
Well, there's no doubt that that's often the best counselors, the best pastors, the best people to care for others are people who've gone through some pretty big traumatic experiences, and yeah, I can definitely relate to that to some degree. My life hasn't been, you know, a perfect fairy tale, that's for sure. And I had a very good friend in college who died in a hiking accident in Oregon, and that was one of those life defining events that really changed things for me. And it was a painful time in my life, no doubt about it. And through that, though, I think I've the people who give the care are able to develop a lot more empathy for those that they're caring for when they've been through some hurts and some heartaches themselves.
And you really brought up a couple of great points, but I want to focus on life-defining moments. Does it take for us to change as human beings, change our behavior, change our path, whatever it is, does it take that much pain? Does God have to, or do we have to, whatever the term, do we have to put ourselves through that in order to actually take a left turn when we've been going straight the whole time?
You know, that's a really good question, Johnny. I don't think so. I think God is certainly big enough to get a hold of people's attention in all sorts of ways. One of the common ways it happens is through life-defining events, through painful experiences. That's for sure. That's been my experience, both in my own life and in the lives of others. But there are a lot of people who I've come into contact with over the years and who are a big part of our church now that have come into a much deeper relationship with God, not through painful experiences, but just because it was time. And God got their attention in some other way.
Let's talk about the Lutheran Church of Hope. You started there in 93. And now, I'm sorry, I don't know, but did you start it yourself? Was it already in place? How did that work?
It was technically called a restart. Our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, asked me to come here and restart the church. It had been going for 2 years, and so then my wife and I, when I say we came here in the summer of 93 and restarted. There were about 20, 25 people here at the time, so it was almost like starting from scratch. But those 20, 25 were some great people, absolute key to the future of the growth of the church.
And then I have to ask now, your congregation, what, thousands now? Do some of those same 25 people, are they still with you?
Yeah, they are. The ones who've stayed in town and haven't moved, you know, out of Iowa. But yeah, they're still with us. And so they've seen all sorts of change and growth. And for that reason, they're my heroes, no doubt about it.
The people that come to you, the new people who come into the church, are they looking for something, and I know this is too simple to be true across the board, are they looking for something different, quote-unquote, or are they just simply looking for something?
Both, yeah, that's for sure. I think probably the most common kind of person who ends up coming to Hope is somebody who really doesn't necessarily have a church background. Or if they do, it's way in their past. It could have been years ago or decades ago. But they hit a point in life where they look around and they realize all the things that I'm tapping into to try to find fulfillment in my life aren't satisfying my soul, and they start wondering if there isn't something spiritual out there for them, and they come to places like Hope and churches like Hope, certainly not just our church, but they come back to church looking for that, and we see that a lot.
My guest this morning is Mike Householder. He is, pastor, is that the correct term?
Yeah, you can call me pastor, or just Mike is fine too, either one.
Okay, so you don't necessarily need the title, right? It's just, Mike is the most important title you have, that's what I'm hearing.
That's the name my parents gave me, so that's the one I'm most familiar
absolutely,
with.
Absolutely, with the Lutheran Church of Hope on 1350 KRNT. You touched upon some things. We're talking this morning about change. And fundamentally, can we change? How do we change? And I would suspect, Mike, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that it is, you're sort of part psychologist, part pastor, part friend, part teacher, part all these pieces together. How do you bring those together to help people who want to change some behavior that they currently don't like?
It is a little bit of all those things, but I'm certainly not, I don't know, you know, what a therapist knows to do therapy, or a professional counselor. So we're really good at referring people to people who know what they're doing when it comes to that. But for a pastor like me in a situation like this, there are a lot of different things that add up kind of to a whole. And it's something that I love, and it's something that changes week to week and year to year, that's for sure. As the church grows, my responsibilities change too. I enjoy that. I enjoy the change in the role as the church develops.
When someone comes to you and has a behavior, whether it's an addiction or a mental, or they're struggling with depression, or the death of someone they're trying to get over, or whatever it is, is there a process that you have that you sort of give them a left brain analytical, all right, here are some steps, let's go through it sort of as a template, or is each person organically, you sort of create it from scratch with each person?
Yeah, it's the latter more than the former. It depends on the person, it depends on what they're going through. People hurt and grieve in different ways, and so I think it's real important as a pastor to be a really effective listener and to pay attention to what this person is really longing for. It doesn't do much good to answer questions that people aren't asking. So if they're hurting in an analytical, kind of intellectual way, then that's the approach I try to take and walk down that road with them. If it's more of an emotional kind of thing, which more often than not it is, then I'm going to try to pay attention to that. And the thing is, as a pastor, as a Christian pastor, and somebody who believes that God has answers for people in the midst of their pain in a way that nothing else in the world does. And I'm, of course, constantly trying to point them to the healing that God brings more than anything I could bring.
What is the most common challenge or problem or issue, if there is such a thing, if you can narrow it down, that people come to you with?
Yeah. In this community, there are a lot of things that people struggle with. I think that the two that stand out the most, having served in this community for over 17 years, in terms of hurts, underlying hurts, I'm talking about root issues. You know, people might come and say my marriage is in trouble, or people will come and say I'm just in a funk and I don't feel good about life. But if you get down underneath it, a lot of times there's some kind of substance abuse. There's either in themselves or in a family member or a loved one, alcohol, some other drug, or a lot of times we run into. What I guess I would summarize as father issues, people who are, or mother issues, just trying to deal with the love that they didn't get when they were kids and all the obstacles that's presented for them as they develop into adults and try to find their way.
One of the things that strikes me, Pastor Mike, as we talk is that the word God, as we talk and have this conversation, you've used it on occasion, but it isn't like every sentence you're using God, you're not quoting scripture. And my sense is that for some people who have found God intimidating for much of their lives and that has prevented them from going to a church, that must bring them a great sense of peace and security, at least at the front end when they first meet you and come to a service.
That's true, Johnny. You know, I believe that all truth is God's truth, and that's just a foundational point from which everything else kind of flows. And I think God gives us brains, and God gives us wisdom, and the ability to think through things. And we don't want to give superficial answers to the questions that run deeper. If people read the scriptures, if they read the gospels, Jesus spoke in very down-to-earth language. He talked about life issues, and he talked about the things that people were dealing with. And there were times when he quoted scripture too, but it wasn't every sentence, and it wasn't even every paragraph. It was him bringing the love of God to people through day-to-day life, and that's what we try to do as a church too.
Do you think, as best you can see yourself from the inside, which is the toughest place to see ourselves, of course, but do you think people see you as a happy man who happens to be Christian, or as a Christian man who happens to be happy?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I am happy. That's true. I guess the word I'm a little more comfortable with than happy, and that's joyful. I think joy is a gift that God gives us that isn't dependent so much on circumstances, and whether it's a happy day or a sad day, joy can supersede that. Jesus started his, I'll go ahead and quote some scripture. Jesus started his first sermon in called the Sermon on the Mount, his most famous one, starts in Matthew 5, and he blew people away because the first words out of his mouth were blessed, which means happy or joy-filled, are those who are poor in spirit, or who are mourning, or who are meek, or who are suffering or being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And so joy is deeper than just circumstances. Joy at its core comes from the relationship that we have with our Creator through Christ, and that's where the joy comes from. So I don't know what people see, but that's how I feel. The joy comes from my relationship with God.
Well, you got people listening this morning, Pastor Mike, who have, maybe they've got problems. Maybe they want to make a change in their life, a lifestyle change. Maybe they're overweight, they want to lose weight. Maybe they're in an abusive relationship, they want to get out. Maybe they're self-abusing and they want to end that. Maybe they're depressed, or maybe it's as simple as they just want to feel a little better and they want something that can take them there. What advice, and again, I'm asking for a template, sort of a rubber stamp in this case. I know each one is individual, but what advice do you give those people listening this morning? What's their first step? What's the second step for them?
The first step, as far as I'm concerned, Johnny, is to encourage those folks to seek the help that they need. And going it alone is not only difficult, but sometimes it makes a problem that is smaller get bigger, or it makes a problem that could be resolved sooner, something that takes a whole lot longer to resolve. So the first step, I would say, is get the help you need, reach out for it, and reach out to a local church. I would hope that would be a part of the process for people who are searching for it. Because again, I really believe that the best healing and the permanent healing from any of those things that you listed can come quite effectively from a God who created these folks and who loves these folks and has a plan for their lives. So I'd encourage people to reach out to a church in their community, in their neighborhood, and people who live out our way, be more than happy for them to contact us at Lutheran Church of Hope. We also have ministries as a second step that I'd encourage people to get into that are really targeted for people who are hurting. We have a ministry called Christ Life. We're not the only church in town that does that ministry, but it's a two-year holistic journey where people get to walk through all these kinds of things, and the stories that people tell as they go through that ministry, and particularly as they come out of it, are inspiring, absolutely inspiring. We've got a course called Alpha, which is an intro to Christianity, which has done the same. And then we have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights for people who are struggling with addictive behaviors and hang-ups and hurts. So we would love to get people funneled into those ministries who are open to that. And again, encourage people to find that help at other churches as well.
Well, you've got people very excited right now, Pastor Mike. So give them the portals. What's the website? Is there an email to get to you or anyone else? Phone number? Tell us everything.
You bet. Thanks. They can contact us at Lutheran Church of Hope. Our website is Hope WDM. The WDM is for West Des Moines. Hope WDM is one word, .org. Our phone number is area code 515-222-1520. We're a small to medium sized church that gets big on weekends, and people are always welcome to join us for worship on weekends. Everything else we do is in small to medium sized groups throughout the week, but on weekends it gets pretty big. And services are Saturday and Sunday evening at 5, and Sunday morning at 8, 9:15, and 11. And everybody's more than encouraged and welcome to join us.
Well, whether we know you as Pastor Mike or Happy Mike, You are a friend of the show, Mike, and we appreciate that so very, very much for taking time out with us this morning.
Well, Johnny, thank you for your show, and thanks for taking on these issues. I know that that's a blessing to all your listeners, so keep doing what you do.
Mike Householder, Lutheran Church of Hope, on 1350 KRNT, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 835, Perspective of Change. Another one, a very different one, coming up from Maria Valdovinos. Works at the Drake University Department of Psychology. We'll hear from her and coming up a little later. Justine Allen, wellness coach, certified personal trainer from the Y, about the kind of change that most of us are working on. And I got rid of this fat right here. She's going to give us a clue as the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on. 1350 KRNT. 8:37 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Trying to send a good vibe out to the University of Iowa Hawkeyes taking on Michigan State, Kinnick Stadium. Tough game. Top five ranked Michigan State Spartans. We'll see how the University of Iowa does later on. Also, Iowa State playing Kansas at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Weather looks good for it. Sunshine 64 today. Right now we're at 47. Change. A little change will do you good. And why is a show about customer service talking about change this Saturday morning? Halloween. Happy Halloween to you. Well, it's as simple as I tell trainees, who include Dolls Food Stores, Westside Auto Pros, and a myriad of other clients, a dozen or so, and more coming to the table. I tell them this: listen, I'm asking you to do certain things, and for the customer's standpoint, for them, make it about them. Empathy, the one word that rules all worlds when it comes to being in retail. But if your foot's on fire, you don't care about somebody else's foot. I.e., if you're in pain or you're dealing with stuff, your backstory, then it's going to be hard to get into their front story, right? And so change in how we deal with our own stuff first and then help others help themselves is part of the show this morning. Maria Valdovinos is a proponent of that. In a different perspective than we just heard from Pastor Mike, she is works in the Department of Psychology at Drake University, joins us this morning. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
Maria, talk about first, how did you get involved in the world of psychology? Were you one of those kids who were you always trying to sort of break people down, figure out what their motives were, or sort of understand them? Did that start as a child?
Probably in adolescence. I became very fascinated watching my peers and some of the decisions they made and choices they made and kind of questioning why and what motivated that behavior. And then from then, in undergrad, I went in as a psychology major and took a class called Learning, where we learned the basics, the fundamentals, the principles of behavior, if you will, and just really became fascinated by it all. I participated in some research where we took, we worked with animals, dogs in particular, that had been raised in a laboratory, and when we first started working with them, they cowered in their kennel. They did not. They weren't used to human interaction. They weren't used to people. And we took these animals, and through a process of shaping, reinforcing behavior, we took these shy, you know, averse to human dogs, and we trained them to basically indicate to us when they detected odors. Specifically, we were trying to test for drugs of abuse, explosives, fruit, and so we taught them this really complex discrimination task, and I just thought, wow. This is what I want to do.
Oh my gosh, how fascinating. I mean, you know, I have a Shih Tzu, and the only odor it can detect is when it has gas, you know, and then I'm sure you've never heard that joke, but yet, very, very interesting. Maria, I have to ask you, and I've been around people who have majored in psychology and have dated them, and just, I don't know why, it just sort of worked out that way, but always great people. But I've always wondered, is this a cliche that is absolutely, that may be true, and that do psychologists and people who pursue that element, is there a part of themselves that they're trying to heal and trying to unlock that or discover ways, or were you just pretty well adjusted and you just happened to go down that road?
I would imagine that, you know, for some people that is the case. For me, I just, you know, had this research experience and just thought how phenomenal that behavior can be changed in this way, and was just completely fascinated by the subject, by the topic.
Well, that's why I asked. I'm so glad you dovetailed in really into my next question, because the idea of change, which is what the show is about this morning, and how we change and can we change and how do we go about that, is so fascinating to me. And one of the things that I talk about frequently in training is that in order to fundamentally help others, we have to first take care of our own pain. I describe it as if your foot's on fire, you don't care if somebody else's foot is on fire. You want your own foot put out first. And so what I wonder from a psychological standpoint, what is can you talk about that and how it may play into how we eventually do change others and ourselves?
Well, you know, when it comes to changing behavior, it really depends on the environment. You know, in the simplest terms, people do what they do to get something, to gain access to something positive, or they do something to avoid or escape something that's aversive or negative. And at a very basic level, that's kind of understanding, explaining why we do what we do. So certainly, if we think about then competing contingencies, in other words, those conditions that motivate our behavior and maintain it, the more immediate ones, like the pain in your foot, is
sure.
going to require and call for more attention, more immediate attention, escaping it, than perhaps treating someone else's pain in their foot, which would also provide its own reinforcement for doing so. Someone thanking you, someone really praising you. But so it definitely has to do with competing contingencies. And we often tend to allocate our behavior to things that are going to provide us more immediate, often immediate, and strong reinforcement, as opposed to choosing other responses that are going to produce less significant or strong consequence.
My guest this morning is Maria Valdovinos. She is an assistant professor of the Department of Psychology at Drake University on 1350 KRNT. Maria, you bring up the point that I think is interesting, and that is, do we have enough research to know, or do we know that what helps motivate us more, pain or the aversion to pain, moving away from it or moving toward pleasure, or is it a combination of those two things that helps us change and motivate and do things that we want to do?
You know, I think it depends on the individual. There's been research to suggest that escape from aversives can be a very motivating factor. But by the same token, you know, it does depend on, you know, is the aversive so aversive that it outweighs the pleasantness of the reinforcer that we're working towards. And so there can become instances where the aversive stimulus is maybe too far delayed from the response that the immediate reinforcers kind of take hold or kind of come to control behavior. By the same token, there can be aversive consequences that are so aversive that it completely outweighs whatever benefit there is for the response. So it really depends on the individual and, you know, how aversive stimuli are for them or how reinforcing mm-hmm. things are for them.
Right. Well, and then it brings up the point, and as a trainer, I'm always talking to people about how do we change. And in a training capacity, I'm talking about a customer service, a smile, a greeting when we're not used to doing it, or greeting in a certain way when we were greeting in this different way before, or thanking when we weren't thanking before. Really small and almost, I wouldn't say insignificant, small but important changes, getting people to remember and change in that regard, even to the biggest sorts of changes. We're talking about lifestyle changes or losing weight or whatever the fundamental behavioral change. Then is there, I'm sure there is, what's the model that works?
Well, the model that works is really changing consequences for behavior. So, you know, if, and also it's not just changing consequences for behavior, but also providing individuals with alternative responses. So if we're saying, you know what, this way that you've been doing it isn't helping you, isn't working, isn't functional, provide, model, demonstrate alternative responses, and then make sure that consequences for those alternative responses are there. So if it is, you know, for example, losing weight, well, before you would maybe in a pinch drive-through fast food to get something to eat, and that satisfied that hunger response. So let's come up with an alternative. Let's prepare meals in advance. And so when you're hungry in a pinch, you've got the food right there, heat it up, and that hunger response is satisfied. So it's, you know, kind of making sure that the consequences that were there for other behavior can get reallocated towards newer behaviors that are probably more functional and more adaptive for the individual.
Maria Valdovinos from the assistant professor at the Drake Department of Psychology joining us this morning on 1350 KRNT. Thank you so much, Maria. 8:46 now. Okay, so I've stopped cussing. I've stopped thinking I'm Napoleon, and now I want to stop stuffing my face. Can we do it before the end of the show? We'll see. Justine Allen, the wellness coach and certified personal trainer from the YMCA, joins us next here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Happy Halloween from 1350 KRNT, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on at 8:48 this Saturday morning. Nice sunny day today, no forebodingness at all, and 64, and go Cyclones, go Hawkeyes, football, whatever you're doing outside, enjoy it, because it's going to turn, yeah, they're saying cold weather maybe next week, maybe even a chance of snow later in the week. Yeah, sorry, I'm so sorry. Listen, if you want to lose weight, watch this film. Yeah, you'll throw up right along with Linda Blair, or you could do a much more healthier methodology. And listen to Justine Allen, who is a wellness coach and certified personal trainer with the YMCA. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning.
Well, Justine, you're probably been in shape your whole life, but there's always that possibility that you were fat for a while, then you sort of figured out how to get out of that. What's your backstory? How did you start or get interested in fitness?
Yeah, I actually started in third grade when I started playing basketball. My friends were doing it, and so I thought, oh, this will be kind of cool, and so I did, and really enjoyed it, and just my journey kind of started there, and I added on volleyball and track and softball and all kinds of sports, and I played basketball in college as well, and which has kind of led me to where I am today. So
going from being, it's one thing to be athletic and be gifted in that regard. It's another thing to actually have committed your life to helping others achieve some level of fitness. When was there like sort of a pivotal moment where you said, oh yeah, I can help others get to this point?
Absolutely. I've always shared my love of, you know, working out and being involved in team sports. And I would say probably during college is kind of when I realized it, thinking, you know, it makes me feel good, and I want to share my knowledge of, you know, the sports that I know, but, you know, just helping people with, you know, talking about their lifestyles and, you know, why are you the way you are today, and kind of helping them, you know, realize that, you know, health is more than just sports, and it's more than just, you know, playing the sport itself. So I would probably say with my teammates in college, we would talk about, you know, life and behaviors and things like that. And then I started after college, I became a basketball coach and kind of started with my girls when I was coaching basketball in high school as well.
Justine, how do people that are, I think it's fascinating to talk to people who are talented and gifted and they sort of grew up with that, or whether they're smart or athletically inclined or whatever it is, you sort of had the answers inside yourself or figured out your own journey, but teaching others to find their own journey is a bit of a different thing. Is it sometimes difficult to communicate what you already sort of know inherently?
Well, I think sometimes it is. I mean, you know, you look at our statistics, and in the United States, 58 million people are overweight. You know, 40 million are obese, and 3 million are morbidly obese. So, you know, I think it's harder to reach people that aren't, you know, when they look at a gym, they think, oh, you know, that's scary. That's kind of a scary thought. And so when people come through our doors and they want, you know, at the YMCA, and they want coaching or they want help and they want to, you know, start this new life journey, I think it's a really scary thing. And I think there's oftentimes people are real reluctant. And when they, you know, they might see somebody that's fit, or, you know, I want to be like that, and how do I get like that? And, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of, it's a scary journey. So I think it is rather difficult to reach people especially when you are athletic or you're fit.
Right.
And, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So,
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's like somebody who's really good at math, and they just sort of always were that way, trying to teach me how to be good at math. And I want to ask them, all right, please tell me you were at one point dumb about math. And they're going to say, no, I've been a genius my whole life.
Absolutely.
And so people, when people ask you about your backstory and you say, yeah, you know, I've been jumping, running, shooting, doing all kinds of goop my whole life. Is it tough then? Do they sometimes say, oh, well, sure, of course, you're skinny.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are like, well, look at you, you know, and I tell them, you know, it hasn't always been an easy journey. I mean, and I'll relate it to, you know, life stories, not just fitness wise or health wise, but just life stories, like you said, even math. So, you know, I might relate it to the fact that I haven't always been great at this, but it takes hard work and it takes dedication. And, you know, really, I think the biggest thing for me when I wellness coach is to, ensure people that I'm there to, you know, assist them in setting their own goals, and they have to have buy-in to it, and they have to, you know, want to change, and I'm not telling them what to do. You know, I'm just simply giving them the opportunity to tell me what's already, you know, inside of them, because we all have answers inside of us. It's just a matter of how do we get those out from people.
Yes, absolutely. My guest this morning is Justine Allen. She is a wellness coach and certified personal trainer with The Y on 1350 KRNT. Well, let's talk more about that change thing. That's sort of been the theme of this morning's show. How do we get, boy, what a huge problem, tongue in cheek, but of course 58 million Americans overweight, chronic problems, health problems with that. How do you get the person who comes to you who's anywhere 10 pounds overweight or 100 pounds or has chronic health issues, how do you get them to change their lifestyle, to change the way they look at food or the way they're running the railroad? How do you do that?
You know, I think at The Y, you know, our policy is listen first. You know, and when we are talking to members, we're making sure that we're actively listening to their story, I think. And you know, really getting them to understand their story, because I think a lot of times they, you know, they may not get it themselves, you know, and it takes some, you know, coaching from us as wellness coaches to, you know, get them to where they need to be. Like I said, you know, they have the answers inside of them, you know, and it's setting goals, helping them to set a behavior change goal, you know, and getting them to be talking about, you know, I'm going to be coming to the gym, you know, 2 times a week. This is what I'm going to be doing, instead of us saying, you need to come to the gym 2 times a week, or, you know, however many times, whatever they, you know, they want their goal to be, you know, and just incorporating, you know, the spirit, mind, and body. I mean, the whole picture, the whole lifestyle, you know, modification that, you know, that they're looking for, and helping them, you know, achieve that just by listening and, you know, reflecting back on what they have inside of them.
Is it, Justine? I'm a recovering fatty. I used to weigh 320 pounds. I'm half of that now. I'm 160. I've tried to chronicle my story as best I can on my blog and on the radio and so forth. And what I tell people when they say, "Hey, what's your secret?" is I tell them, "I don't know." The truth is that one day it just all of a sudden it didn't matter, because it was started to come off, and it was almost like this kind of magic. And I realize that is inherently put me in a minority of people. But does that happen? Do people suddenly sort of come to you and say, you know what, it just seems like one day I just kind of figured it out, the stars aligned, and I kind of got it?
Oh, yeah. I've had members that have had light bulb moments, and it's awesome to see. You know, it's like, yes, you know, that's our goal. And but I think you are in the minority. There are a lot of people that, you know, they're in a stage where they're kind of pre-contemplating, you know, well, I tried that, it hurt my knees, you know, that sort of thing. And you know, it takes a long time and a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication to get to the maintenance stage of change, you know. You know, being there for 6 months or more, you know, and it's all a matter of how can we assist, you know, our members in getting to where they want to be, you know? And I think, you know, and we offer 3 wellness coach appointments for free, totally free. Now, I've had members that they've come back and they're like, you know what, I'm still struggling, and, you know, that sort of thing. So always, 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 you know, if they come back and they still need help, we assist them in any way that they can, just making sure that, you know, they're sticking to their goals and, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Well, Justine, and I think, and I speak for myself, and that probably means I speak for others, but I think that exercise and even diet to some extent sort of masked the problem. I was so invested in exercising and keeping to a regimen and thinking about my diet and all this left brain that in many ways it was blocking me from seeing the real issue, which was behind that. And it was a sense of personal fulfillment. And as soon as I found that, then the other things, I had trained myself. I was a good exerciser. I understood diet. So I knew what I needed to know, but it was an emotional aha moment. Oh, I've got this. My foot's on fire. That's the real problem. I got to go put it out and then I can lose the weight. Do you have people, do you take them that deep?
It depends, honestly. There are people that are willing to, you know, spill their whole life story and tell us everything, and but there are a lot of people that are hesitant to really say, well, you know what, my goal is to not eat past midnight or not eat past 9 o'clock or whatever, right. You know, whatever their goal might be. Well, there, like you said, there are underlying reasons as to why that's happening. So I think part of our job is to, you know, help kind of draw that out of them, getting that, what is the real reason behind, you know, being overweight or whatever, you know, whatever the case might be. And I think that's just kind of, you know, why we're there. We're there to kind of help draw that out of them and help them realize and have that aha moment.
Thank you so much, Justine Allen, for joining me this morning, the wellness coach and personal trainer from the YMCA. Thank you so much. I want to thank also Pastor Mike Householder from the Lutheran Church of Hope, and also Maria Valdovinos from Drake University. A little bit of change will do us good if that's the kind of change we want. Yeah, it's not easy, but we do it little bitty steps, whether it's smiling, greeting, engaging, and thanking, or a whole lifestyle change, whatever it may be. A change, maybe, will do us good. I hope this weather doesn't change. Nice one today, 64 sunshine. Enjoy your happy Halloween, everybody. Catch you next Saturday.